Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast where each week three of us read up on a topic, then discuss it from geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, I am your host, Colin, and we will be discussing Avengers Infinity War, specifically how trailers affect our perception of this film, both before and after. This episode is a before and after special, an episode where we discuss a topic before it is released, and again, after we've had a chance to read up. Then we report back.
It's very special.
Yeah, normally we just wait until afterwards.
You can tell it's special because I'm reading a different paragraph that I wrote instead of the one that we normally read that I wrote. I have with me two representatives to discuss our topic this week, and they are... I don't care. Go fight for who's going to go first.
Austin, it's me.
Austin wins. Austin's first.
I won. Woo. I am the master commander.
I am the master commander.
Yeah. You want me to give a prediction?
No, not now.
No, not yet. No, that's for later.
Okay. Yeah. Just say your name. I'm here. I won. I'm Austin.
So whom did you defeat to become the master and commander?
I mean,
the answer is Eddie. That was my cue for Eddie to introduce himself. This is not going very well.
And my name is Edward Ryan, and I predict that this will be an episode of the podcast.
That's honestly kind of up in the air based on what we've done so far.
My name is Edward Ryan, and I predict that this whole episode will be a deleted scene of this podcast.
My name is Edward Ryan, and I approve this message.
My name is Edward Ryan, so, and I'd like Colin to keep going.
This part of the podcast is being recorded before the release of Avengers Infinity War. In fact,
shortly before,
exactly 24 hours from now, I will be watching Avengers Infinity War on its preview IMAX 3D showing. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to start by summarizing the topic and discussing our thoughts before we make some predictions about how we think it'll turn out. The second half of this episode will be recorded after Infinity War's release, and we're going to see how it stacks up to our expectations. Now, again, we're going to focus on the trailers, so unless you guys have anything else you want to say, I think we can jump into the summary and kick this bad boy off.
Let's just jump into it.
Yeah, I've got so many predictions. We gotta get through the gritty work first.
So, The Avengers Infinity War is an upcoming film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Upcoming for us, you all listening to this will have already seen it by now, I am sure.
Allegedly.
I hope so.
It is a film, I believe the 18th film in the Cinematic Universe, 10 years after Iron Man release, kicking off the whole smorgasbord of films that have led to this culmination, including the Thor movies, the Iron Mans, the Captain's America, and the Spider-Man. So... if that would be grammatically correct if they weren't proper nouns, so I stand my ground on Spider-Man,
maybe?
Well, I mean, it's like Attorney General. Plural of Attorney General is Attorneys General. So how many Spider-Man do you have? Several.
No, but Spider-Man...
if you're watching Into the Spider-Verse.
...is a hyphenate.
Yeah, I think because it's not that... because in Attorney General, General is a descriptor for the attorney. It's another adjective. And in Spider-Man, they're using, like, Spider... is more like the adjective where he is actually a man.
He is a man.
But he has spider-like qualities. Yep.
I will concede to Spider's man, though I really do
no,
like...
No, you can't just concede to your own opinion. It's
no,
Spider-Man.
I concede to your point on Spider's man that it is invalid. I still like it, and you can't change my feelings. So what I originally wanted to talk about before this episode sort of took the form that it did was the trailers to Infinity War. And there's specifically one thing I wanted to call out, but I believe there are two like major full length official trailers and then a smattering of TV spots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when the first trailer came out? Was it December? Was it January? It was a while ago at this point.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I mean, I remember that it happened. It popped up on Facebook and I was like, oh, I should look at this. And then I was like, oh, that was like 5 seconds.
Yeah. So what the initial trailer told us.
Well, that was the teaser trailer for the trailer.
Yeah.
That is another thing I wanted to talk about. But before we get there, the trailer basically painted a picture that Thanos, the bad guy introduced in the 2012 film Avengers, we knew that he was going to swing around, grab all the Infinity Stones, five of which we have become acquainted with in the films, very powerful things, and he's going to put them in a Nintendo Power Glove and totally fuck the world.
I love the Power Glove. it's so bad.
And
sorry.
I really just want, can we get Josh Brolin saying that in any other context? Like, can we pose as paparazzi, get him to say that, and then create a fan edit of Infinity War where he says that? Instead of, I hope they remember you, it's, I love the Nintendo Power Glove.
I mean, if he's cool, we can make it happen.
I just, real quick, guys, I just want to say I'm so happy that the older brother from the Goonies is Thanos and Cable. Like, the older Cable. Brother from the Goonies mm-hmm. is Thanos and Cable, and it's amazing.
Is Thanos the Mad Titan, descendant of Celestial, seducer of death, I suppose it is? So, basically,
really.
the picture that the trailers painted is just that there's going to be a bunch of big stuff hurting the world, that Captain America needs a shield, as per King T'Challa.
Get that man a shield.
That was a very good line. I think that the trailer did a very good job of maybe pumping up the emotions and like showing you all the faces you wanted to see. It did very little by the way of story. It didn't really explain anybody's agency aside from, again, Black Panther really wants to get Captain America.
I think I've got the whole story plotted out from that trailer.
Yeah, to be fair, that's never been a real big...
Okay, plot out this trailer story for me, if you don't mind.
Oh, shit. Already?
I was just going to say the trailers have never really been focused on the actual plots of the movies.
No, and that's something... That's one of the main reasons I wanted to discuss this, because even though that trailer is exciting, but light on maybe substantial content, aside from getting that man a shield, it really, it was at the time, within a day or two, the most watched movie trailer of all time. Like, instantly, that happened. And I think it's kind of fascinating to see a trailer get that much hype. Especially, to Eddie's point, the thing that really made me want to do this episode is, when the second full-length trailer came out, the one that maybe gave us a little more substance into story, the day before it, I saw trailers all over the place saying, this is a trailer for the trailer that's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I find that the redundancy is building upon it. And this all comes down to the hype machine, basically, which, as I was still building out this episode, I had an idea that really we should talk about the hype machine, but I think trailers are the example I wanted to choose. So with Avengers Infinity War, there's a lot that we know because of the comics and because of the other films and because of media releases, but the trailers paint a bit of a limited picture, and I kind of wanted your opinions on how this is making you feel about the movie, apart from all the other things I mentioned.
Really excited.
I mean, I feel like it has the potential to be even more of a clusterfuck than the last Avengers movie. Because, you know, they just have so many more kids.
I'm so excited.
That's true.
I don't know.
So that's very, very true. I think that the trailer, the second trailer, you get to hear a little more dialogue from Thanos. And he has some, yeah. I think, some pretty poignant lines, particularly the, I hope that they remember you. And his actually connecting with the journeys of his opponents. So we're not quite getting Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy or Obadiah Stane from Iron Man 1, where they're just hell-bent on doing bad stuff. The trailers at least paint a bit of a picture that we are going to get a little bit of depth and consideration out of Thanos.
I should hope so.
Which is a lot more than I expected to get from the 3-minute trailer for the film. But
you'd hope that, like, the big bad they've been, you know, obviously they didn't know this from Jump Street, that they were going to end here, but the big bad that they've been building towards for 18 films, you'd hope he'd be pretty good.
Yeah. And I think the thing that is just surprising me is that I'm not used to trailers maybe showing this much for Black Panther in particular. Fantastic film, fantastic villain for those who have seen Black Panther, and we'll have a Black Panther episode coming up soon. But Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan, was not really showcased in the trailer to any particular degree. So I think my conflicting feelings about the Infinity War trailer is that they at once feel more promising, but also maybe less indicative of the movie we're about to see, because the secrecy around this movie has been insane.
So, yeah, if I could speak to that for a moment.
Please.
I think not only do they probably want to, you know, keep everything, you know, under lock and key as much as they can until the movie hits wide release, but also that, like, they don't need to, like, give us the story hook, like, more that, like, as the only really story hook they need to put in the trailer is, like, yep, there's a big bad guy coming, they're gonna fight him. Because they've built such a loyal, large audience over the, you know, the 10 years of this franchise, you know, I think all that they really need to do is what they've done is just show us like, hey, all these characters are going to be in the movie and look, it's going to look really cool. Come watch it. You enjoyed the other films. And then we'll all go,
yeah,
you're right, Marvel. I did watch the other films and I did enjoy them. I'm on my way. Here's my money. You know, like, so I think it's like a two birds, one stone kind of deal where like by not showing a lot in the trailer, they're still succeeding in getting people into the theater because that's all that we need to see at this point is like, oh, you know, Star-Lord's going to meet Iron Man. Cool. I'm in. And also they get to keep like a lot of the secrets.
Yeah. And a contrast to this that I wanted to point out, because typically a movie trailer's purpose is to give you that hook and get you in. Looking at another mega Disney franchise at the moment, Star Wars, looking at even how The Last Jedi was handled, like where people are tearing apart the Infinity War trailers to figure out like, oh man, Iron Man's got that, you know, that fluid nanobot suit now. I forget what the name of it is, and just like getting all these details out of it. But like story predictions at this point, it seems kind of like everybody's just content to let it ride.
Yeah.
Whereas Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, which we experienced very recently, had a very different reception where like there are so many like clickbait articles about what's going to happen in the film, and it's like even though Star Wars is a proven thing after Force Awakens, it was an open plate and they had to give us that story hook in the trailer.
Well, the other thing is,
and it seems like Marvel doesn't necessarily have to do that now with some of these films.
So I agree that Marvel doesn't necessarily have to do that, because until they release like a couple of bad movies, I think they're going to have like guaranteed ticket sales, because a lot of us, myself included, just like trust that the Marvel movies are going to be good movies, you know, until they release a couple of bad ones. You know, I don't think that a lot of people's opinion on it are going to change, you know, like because for every, you know, Thor the Dark World, we have 9 really good movies. And I like Thor the Dark World, but the quality dipped on that one. With Star Wars, the other thing about it is Force Awakens did end on a cliffhanger. I think that also plays into like how they had to market that film. That's a whole different discussion, but
yeah,
that's fair, I guess.
But did you really like Thor the Dark World?
I had a really good time. I liked that it was funnier.
I like Thor the Dark World better than I like Thor.
But I thought that a lot of the story beats weren't nearly as poignant. It seemed very like inconsequential, like all the stuff that the movie was very light and not necessarily in a good way.
So I guess kind of the thing that I wanted to talk about the most in regards to these trailers is that I think it's pretty common knowledge in geek culture today with movies and games and shows and stuff like that, that trailer culture is its own thing. And that, like, watching a trailer for a movie you care about can be just as exciting as watching the movie. And with this particular thing that we're all patrons of this franchise, before we wrap up the summary and really get into what our predictions are for the movie, I just want to ask you guys, how do you feel about that part of trailer culture? Like, when you see a trailer for a trailer, does that excite you? Or are you just kind of like, I'm over it?
I mean, I think, honestly, I think that seeing a trailer for a trailer, for me, just kind of frustrating because I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to see the rest of this tiny snippet of the trailer in the trailer, you know? So, like, why'd you have to do that to me, guys? Like, you already told me the date, but now you decided you'd remind me, and...
But isn't that also what trailers do for movies? You're going to see it in the movie anyways.
So...
Oh, yeah, but, like...
No, you okay. go. I talked
Whatever.
A lot.
No, you go, Eddie. Well, no, because I'm thinking, like, okay, so the trailer... It's like a little appetizer, you know? You're in your life. It takes a while. It's just a really long meal. And, you know, a couple months in advance, you got to sit down at the table and have that appetizer and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back to this world and we're going to go see these guys. But, like, why would you have an appetizer for an appetizer? You should just order 2 plates of appetizers at that point of the same size instead of a smaller one.
That's a very good point.
So here's the thing about it is that I know you definitely are Colin. I don't know about you, Austin. But like I'm kind of like plugged into, you know, that film news and stuff. So like when they announce like, hey, the trailer's coming on the 15th or whatever, I find out about it right then. So then when the like teaser trailer for the trailer comes out, you know, I'm like, okay, that's I don't care. I'm gonna see the trailer when the trailer drops, you know, I know it's coming on the 15th. But a lot of people aren't because, you know, they're doing other stuff. They're not like always looking up like, you know, film news and stuff. So I think what it does is it's really smart marketing, I think, to do the teaser trailer for the trailer. Because like you referenced earlier, Colin, in like the first 24 hours, it became the most watched movie trailer of all time. The reason for that, I believe, is because of the whole teaser trailer for the trailer thing. Because what they do is they release that little snippet, and that goes through the normal organic like sharing and like going viral online, where someone sees it, they tag their friends in it, they share it, you know, people hear about it, they look it up, they see it. This goes on over the course of a couple of days. So this gets this little small easy thing gets the organic growth, right? And then it, you know, the whole point of this little small thing is come back on this day, and this is when the trailer comes out. So then on that day, you have a huge number of people who are coming back to watch that trailer. So on day one that the trailer drops, you don't need the organic growth, because it already happened with the teaser. So that's how you get most watched trailer of all time in 24 hours. That is a great way to build that hype that you're talking about. So I think it's really smart marketing. I don't really have a huge issue with it, because I don't, you know, tend to care about the little teaser trailer for the trailer, and then I just watch the trailer.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that that's a decent summary of our position on, you know, the status of the film, the trailers, and how those feed into it, because these trailers are going to inform our predictions.
Did you guys hear that they caught the Golden State Killer?
So, no, I didn't.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know if this is maybe the right forum.
Okay, but what was his name?
To discuss that information.
I don't know.
The older brother from the Goonies.
Josh Brolin? No, he wasn't the Golden State Killer.
Oh, I just thought that he was like the surprise bad guy.
That would really put a thorn in the side of this movie coming out if it turned out that Josh Brolin was the Golden State Killer.
That's true. That might hamper the marketing. So,
or maybe it would just make everyone more interested.
It legitimizes Thanos. And Cable.
I don't know if Josh Brolin's old enough to be the Golden State Killer.
That's the perfect cover.
So, Austin, I want you to make some predictions.
Joseph James D'Angelo is his name. He's 72 years old.
Joseph and Josh are pretty close. Austin, I would like you to make some predictions about Avengers Infinity War. We got 5 whole diggity-dang minutes on the clock.
Oh, Jesus.
So, first and foremost, I'm assuming you've seen Avengers Age of Ultron and Captain America Civil War.
I don't think you have to assume that, but yeah.
I don't have to, but I am, just because of conversations we've had and things I know about you.
I think we went to at least one of those two things together. But
I think we did. So looking at those movies.
Age of Ultron, you would have been away at school, Austin.
Age of Ultron, I did not. I didn't see either of these with you then. So for Age of Ultron and Civil War, because those are the last two like big crossover movies, aside from the smaller crossovers happen, you know, like, you know, Doctor Strange in Thor 3 and stuff like that.
That was awesome.
It was very good.
Yep.
But how do you feel about those particular movies, the two most recent crossover entries? Just like very brief feels, because I know some people love and hate one or the other.
Yeah, so I definitely think that because of the last Thor movie, I was thinking, like, yo, I definitely just want to have Doctor Strange just, like, make cameos in every movie because, like, literally all he does is just fuck with people. and it's perfect. You know, like, everyone's just like, hey, Doctor Strange, what's going on? Tell us the business. What's happening? And Doctor Strange will be, like, all mystic mumbo jumbo shit and then throw him through a portal. And then they're like, oh, I'm back into the plot.
Ooh, a portal to the plot. That's what he does. Hey, guys, this movie's got a little off topic here. This will get us where we need to go. Vroom, yeah. With my stupid shoe.
And then you make a joke about a fucking umbrella or something.
So did you like Age of Ultron? Real quick.
Age of Ultron, not my favorite, but, you know, it was okay.
How about Captain America Civil War?
Civil War was way more fun than Age of Ultron. There were some, like, things that I was not as keen on. I thought that, like, I'm not sure how, if I want to say that, like, it was Tony's, I don't want to say that it was, like, Tony Stark character assassination, because Tony Stark was never a really nice person to begin with.
And we got a whole movie about how fucked up he is in the head, so.
Yeah, but, like, I also feel like you know, I enjoyed a lot of things that were going on, but I was also thinking the whole time, like, if Tony Stark is a fucking genius, how can he not see how this whole plan is going to fall to shit? I don't know. But that's not about the trailer so much.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, no, that kind of leads me to the same point as the trailer. So I guess as far as predictions, with Avengers Infinity War, I'm not going to ask you to predict, is it good or bad? It currently has an 87 on Rotten Tomatoes, and most of the reviews are pretty positive of the ones that are fresh. But I want to know, based on your feelings of those movies and what we see in the trailers, what kind of things do you expect to enjoy about this movie going in? What do you think? What are you looking forward to that might satisfy you?
So I'm looking forward to all of the interactions between Spider-Man and everyone he hasn't met yet.
Yes!
Because Peter Parker is going to be such a shit show. Everyone's going to be like, what's this kid doing? And he's just going to say, I don't know. How's it going, guys? I did enjoy that part of the trailer that we've seen so far. The
Doctor Strange introduction?
Yeah, the Doctor Strange and Peter Parker interaction.
Oh, we're using our made-up names.
I'm looking forward to moments like that. And then that'll be, you know, like, he'll be doing his sort of quippy thing during fights, hopefully. And then they'll have that whole thing, too. So it's not just awkward social situations, but also everyone being like, why is he doing this? We're just fighting right now.
So I would also like to ask you to, if you can predict a single plot point. So there's another Avengers movie coming after this. Do you think, like, maybe Thanos is going to get all the stones? Do you think Captain or Hawkeye or Bucky is going to die? I don't know if you have a single thing that you feel strongly about or maybe just curious about.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of assuming that Thanos would get all the stones in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. You know, I'm pretty sure that Tony Stark is gonna fucking kick the bucket, sell the farm. He's
buy the farm.
Yeah, I know that Robert Downey Jr. hasn't been like the keenest on acting out the scenes where he's in the suit a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's I'm sure that he's ready to get out of this story and you know, they're trying to move on to, like, you know, the next generation of the heroes in the Avengers and stuff. So I think Tony Stark.
Thank you for saying the next generation and giving me an opportunity to put in the theme song of Star Trek: The Next Generation in the edit of this episode.
Welcome.
All right,
yeah,
Eddie.
I think we're going to Tony's dead, I hope. Well, I don't hope, but I predict.
All right. All right, it's Edward. I would like to turn attention to you for your predictions based on these prompts I've prepared. So same as Austin, Avengers Age of Ultron and Captain America Civil War. How do you feel about those movies and how they handled the crossover business and how they're informing what we're doing now?
I think I liked Age of Ultron more than most people, and I think I liked Civil War less than most people. Mm-hmm. Age of Ultron, I thought, was a good time. I thought that the introduction of Vision was handled really well. I thought that Ultron could have been a bit stronger of a villain, but as far as like having a lot of characters and like the group dynamic and sharing screen time, I thought that was all handled super well in Age of Ultron. So overall, I really enjoyed that movie. Captain America Civil War, I was not a huge fan of like the plot at all, or the villain. Well, I didn't like the plot because it was,
or the characters,
you know,
or the directing.
If the plot of Captain America Civil War were a cheese, it would be Swiss because it's full of holes. That said,
speaking of cheese, that delivery.
That said, no, I do think the movie was well directed and well acted. The action scenes were fantastic in Civil War. Some of the best that, you know, Marvel's put out.
Yeah.
And all the character work was really good, and so were the interactions. I never felt like there were a lot of characters in the movie. I never felt like any time that was really overwhelming. And I'm not so, even though it is still the Russo brothers and the same writers from Civil War, I'm not so worried about the plot because, you know, this is the kind of thing where like everyone on the back end is like, this is a thing that we cannot fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I know that Kevin Feige has taken a fairly hands-off approach with his curating of the MCU.
Oh God.
Which is, I'm sure, what they also said about the Han Solo movie. We'll see how
that
goes.
But if he was ever going to get
more hands-on, I assume it would be with this one.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. So, well, that leads me to, again, the next question. Same thing I asked Austin. Based on your feelings about these movies and how they're handled, and as you know, the writers, directors, and production staff carrying forward, what are the things about Infinity War you're expecting to like, or be good, or satisfy you, or maybe disappoint?
I assume the action's going to be top-notch. I can't see a world in which, like, we come out of the movie going, like, oh, those fight scenes were bad. You know, I like, I can't imagine that occurring. So, and again, you know, a lot of the actors and actresses playing these characters have done a really great job, I think, tuning into, you know, what the character is and what the audience feels like the character is. So I think the character work's probably going to be, you know, fantastic. And then the Russo brothers, like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of like the story of Civil War, but I thought it was a really well directed film. So I assume in that regard, it's going to be good as well. So it's probably going to look great. There's a lot of things about it that I'm sure will be great. The only thing that, and like I said, I'm very hopeful. I'm not feeling any kind of negative about it, but the only thing that I think I wouldn't put down as like an absolute certainty is I don't know what the story is. I don't know if it's going to be good. I hope it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good, but I don't know. Not until I see the movie.
That makes sense. Well, then I guess similar to Austin, I would like you to make a prediction about the story, if you will. Is there any particular thing that from the context that you've bought into, or do you have any crazy conspiracy theories you would like to weave?
This isn't a prediction, but it's what I really hope. I hope Hawkeye is just not in the movie. He's not in the trailer. He's not in the poster. I want him to stay retired and be happy and just know that he's off screen somewhere alive. That's what I want. Now, is that going to happen? No, he's probably going to be in the movie.
Well, I mean, he's not on an IMDb page either. I double checked that.
So anyway, that's not a real prediction. That's just a hope. Real prediction time. I think this is a crazy one. I've seen this other places as well, but this is one that me and some of the guys at work were talking about. I think that someone's going to get sent back by Doctor Strange.
Ooh.
Makes more sense than Kitty Pryde.
Because
it bears out the fact that Captain Marvel is coming out and it's set in the 1990s, and I guess she goes to like the quantum.
Yes,
zone.
I think that the Soul Stone is in the 90s. That is what I think. That's my prediction. The Soul Stone is in the 1990s. And here's
but where
we've been looking in the wrong decade. This
I don't
whole
know.
Time.
Here's the thing. That's what I think. The Soul Stone's in the 1990s. That's my big prediction for this movie is time travel, a la Bill and Ted,
to the 1990s.
So basically, just like we predicted, Doctor Strange is going to be like, guys, the plot of the story is over there.
The plot's in the 90s. Here's a portal.
Let's go. Let's go get the plot of the movie.
I'm for it.
It is disappointing that the Soul Stone has basically become a MacGuffin, but I need to pivot for time's sake. Last question. One of our editors, Jocelyn, actually posted a question that I really want to ask you guys, and I want to spend a couple minutes on this, and then I think we're going to wrap, and we'll come back after we have seen the film. So... yeah. When they announced that Infinity War would no longer be Part 1 and Part 2, they stated that they couldn't release the name of Avengers 4 because it would be a spoiler for Infinity War. What do you predict the title of Avengers 4 will be?
Infinity War Part 2. No, it'd be Avengers 4 Infinity War Part 2.
Avengers 3 Infinity War 2, kind of like Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare 2.
Avengers 4 Modern Warfare.
Avengers 3 Avengers 4 Infinity War Part 2.
Wait, it's Avengers Infinite Warfare. Jon Snow is the villain.
Infinite Warfare.
That's, dude, Jon Snow will play Thanos in Avengers 4. They're going to recast Josh Brolin.
Yes.
And I know his name's Kit Harington, but Jon Snow is his name.
Amazing.
That's a good question. I'm going to let Austin answer it first.
Okay. Did we have to give serious predictions? Because I thought this was just like...
You can give a serious prediction if you want. I did not expect us to know what the fuck we're talking about here. Not for a second.
Okay, so I was just going to be like, it would be a spoiler because it would be like... Avengers 4, oh god, everything's gone to shit, and now we have to put together a resistance to go take out the big purple guy.
Avengers 4, oh man, the Soul Stone was in the 90s the whole time.
Like
Avengers 4, quote, I found the plot, unquote, Doctor Strange.
Avengers 4, dude, where's my Infinity Stone?
More realistically, though, it's going to be some kind of reference to one of the comics that came after the Civil, after Infinity War, and then everyone would be like, oh, it's going to be some version of that.
Avengers, Infinity War, The Dark Knight. Avengers 4. Crap.
Oh, you know, that would be the real spoiler.
To put Batman in it?
Yeah.
If
they decided to do a DC crossover like they did in the comics. Guys. Yeah. And then they would...
Doctor Strange is like, I found the plot and it's in Gotham City.
If Batman was in Avengers 4...
No.
In Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, he thought that the Eye of Agamotto, because it's green, was kryptonite, and that's how they all joined forces.
Okay, guys. Here's my new prediction. This is a prediction for Avengers 4. Okay. So Thanos, he beats all the Avengers. Good. You know, it's a hard battle. He almost doesn't beat them, but he does. He gets the Infinity Stones, right? And he's about to, you know, use the gauntlet to do Thanos stuff, right? And then Batarang comes in, hits him in the shoulder. He's like, what? He's like, what is this? He pulls it out of his shoulder. He looks, there's Batman standing there, right? And he's like, oh.
But it's Will Arnett Lego Batman.
Right, because they only have the rights to that one.
No, it's Will Arnett dressed as, it's Will Arnett in live action as Batman. And Thanos is like, what? And Batman's like, I'm Batman, I can't let you destroy the universe, Thanos. And he's like, you can't stop me, I have the Infinity Gauntlet. And he uses it to like wipe Batman from existence, but it just doesn't work. And he's like, why isn't it working? And he's like, and then Thanos is like, why isn't it working? And he looks, Batman's gone, pops up behind Thanos, because I'm Batman. And then he chokes him out, puts him in a sleeper hold, and then Batman just has the Infinity Gauntlet.
I like the idea that if he erases one Batman, we go back to the previous movie version of Batman.
Oh, so he erases Will Arnett.
So he erases Will Arnett, and then Ben Affleck's like, I'm Batman.
No, I'm Batman.
And then Christian Bale comes in, and eventually we'll get Clooney nipples all up in that shit.
Yeah, and then Batman decides to give
But it'd be a problem when they get back to Michael Keaton, and then they're like, who let the Vulture out of jail?
No, I'm Batman.
And they'll be like, wait, guys, we've got a continuity issue.
No, you're not Batman, you're Birdman.
Avengers 4, a continuity issue. That's it. That's the name of the movie.
Can I make a...
Maybe they only figure out that the Soul Stone is in the 90s at the end of this one, and like Eddie said, the entire next the Avengers movie is just what happened in the 90s to get the Soul Stone.
It's basically just like Star Trek 4 when they go back to the 80s and don't know what they're doing, except it's to the 90s. But it doesn't make as much sense because they're only displaced by 20
also,
years. But we could still have some really fun fish out of water hijinks.
Just saying here, don't they just never know what they're doing in Star Trek?
That's another very good point.
Wait,
April 25th.
Wait, I want to say one more thing.
What, Eddie? What? Eddie, what?
I had another prediction I wanted to make.
Eddie, what? One more
thing. It's a really good one.
One more thing.
It's a really good one.
Predict it.
Okay, no.
Make it.
All right. It's not really a prediction as much as it's a hope. It's more with a time travel thing. I want... like some big crazy Infinity Gauntlet shit to happen, right? And for it to like fuck up the timeline, right?
Yeah, that's the point.
So that like, and obviously it'll get fixed by the end of Avengers 4, but I want it to like fuck up the timeline and stuff to just be different in Avengers 4, right? So like some other dude is Captain America.
So like
right?
Fringe season 4 when they reconciled the timeline split and they were like everything's just different now.
I haven't
seen Fringe. Maybe not. I'm talking to nobody.
No, I understand. I understand.
So like some other dude is Captain America now, and like Tony Stark, he's not Iron Man, he's Iron Patriot because he signed a deal with the government, and just like there's a whole bunch of like little differences, you know?
Which still doesn't make sense because Norman Osborn was the Iron Patriot in the comics. All right.
Also, Tony's going to be dead, so...
That's true. Austin did say he's going to kick the bucket. Thank you all for listening. This ends our recording for April 25th. You'll hear us again in about 6 seconds, because that's how long our transitions are. 12 seconds. And you'll hear our thoughts on the movie. And if Batman saves
the day... If Batman's in this movie, I'm going to shit my pants.
Note from the editor, we will now sound the spoiler alert for Avengers Infinity War. Please turn back if you have not seen the film. Welcome back to the Common Geeking Program. For you, it has been mere minutes, and for us, it has been one emotional roller coaster of a film, needless to say.
Insert bare naked ladies.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
I don't know the lyrics of the song to keep the joke going.
Turned your glove to the side and snapped your fingers.
Don't wait.
No, it then killed me. It would have still rhymed.
Used the wrong verse. So this discussion is 25 minutes. I wanna structure this a little bit. We're gonna take 10 minutes and just vent about the film. So we're gonna do that for 10 minutes.
Vent.
Fitness.
You upset about the movie? Maybe you should start.
Vent? I mean, I'm honestly not that angry about the
decompress.
Film.
Decompress.
We want to start. No, I want to start because can we talk about fucking Red Skull?
Okay.
For a minute.
Okay. All yes, right, cool. We can.
Red Skull.
I was going to talk about this in the predictions section about what stuff we got right and wrong. I wish one of us had just, as a joke, said that Red Skull was going to be in the movie.
Say it right now. I'll edit it back in.
Because he obviously wasn't going to be in the movie, and then he fucking was.
Okay, can I talk? I want to talk about something for a second, because the reveal of Red Skull in the film is that he's floating there as like this wraith ghost thing in a robe.
Yeah.
And then he reveals he's Red Skull. But when I heard him talking, I'm like, I fucking know that voice. Who is that? I know that voice. And then he reveals it's Red Skull. I'm like, of course it is Red Skull. It's not the same actor. It's not Hugo Weaving. It's Ross Marquand.
No, but he was doing a Hugo Weaving impression. Yeah.
He was doing an impression.
Like a really good
so
one.
Good that before I knew who the character was, I etherically knew that I knew the voice. That's how good that impression was.
Let me real quick say, by the way, that I watched the movie with Alyssa. We went to the Thursday premiere, and we're in the theater, right? And that scene starts up, right? Like, come out of this fucking snowy mountain
on planet Vormir,
and there's like, and this like wraith dude in a cloak appears, and Alyssa like leans into me and whispers, "What is this? The fucking Witch King of Angmar?" She said the correct thing. I may have said the wrong thing.
No, you're
and
good.
Then I chuckled. I was like, haha, that's funny.
It is a Witch King.
And then it wasn't, but it was pretty fucking close because it was, you know.
It was Hugo Weaving, but he was Elrond, and he is...
But, like, it was a Lord of the Rings type dude.
Yes, it was. Generally about the movie, I think the adjective I've been using to describe it is overwhelming. Not in that, oh my god, I couldn't handle it, but, like, the pace of the film, the density of things happening, the amount of characters, and then the relentless barrage of, like, ripping your heart out at the end. Of, like, they're like, hey, this was tough, but let's layer onto it.
Yeah.
It felt like the movie was purposefully not giving you a chance to breathe.
Yeah.
And I think that... I think that's the best descriptor I've got. I liked it for sure. Let me start off by saying I enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, no, I think that that's the purpose of the movie. It's like, it's not supposed to be a tight little loop of a story that you just sort of have. It fits into this way larger
it
web.
It does.
Shit.
Oh my god. And guys, like, speaking of like having like a closed story, you know, I came into the movie, I want to say that I think the film is really well done. And I came into it like, you know, knowing there's going to be another one, and I'm like, okay, I don't know how this is going to go or how it's going to end, but it's going to leave us, you know, at a spot where the next film will happen.
Yeah, I did not think we were going to get a Desolation of Smaug ending.
Well, but here's to me, and I think just goes to show like how well even like they did all you know, every scene in the film. At the end, when Thor comes in with Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker.
And he, you know, flies in, Gotta thunders it up, and gets Thanos, right? Gets him right in the fucking chest, and he's pushing the axe deeper into Thanos's body, and Thanos is, like, in pain.
Yeah.
I'm like, is
oh,
that
shit,
the end of
him.
The movie? Did Thor
did
just,
they
like...
Just...
Was that Deus Ex Deus? Is that what just happened?
That just would have been the biggest twist.
I was so surprised, and, like, the way they filmed it, it seemed like that was what happened, and then Thanos just he raises his hand and snaps his finger. I mean, he said a line first.
Okay, that was
such
a good moment.
But first he says...
He
should have gone for the head. And I'm just like, oh my god. At first I thought that Peter Quill was the biggest fuck up. And now, like, that just goes on to Thor, and I can't even blame Peter that much, because it was just like...
So, okay, the Peter Quill fuck up, I think, was a lot stupider, because people were like, hey, Peter Quill, just help us give the glove off. And he's like, hold on, I need to be really angry and punch him in the face and ruin our plan. Where Thor, he went through so much shit. He found Space Lannister. He got shot by a star butthole. Like, he went through so much to make that axe and get back there.
And then he shot himself across a battlefield.
Yeah.
And, like, he missed by a foot. You know, like,
he
that's
missed
a pretty
a little
good shot.
I definitely don't blame Thor the way I blame Star-Lord for this sort of failure.
All right, can we talk about the Star-Lord thing, though?
No, like, I'm not angry with Thor. I'm not angry with Thor. I'm angry with Peter Quill, but I just think that, you know, Thor came so close. It's just
he
like,
did. He almost pulled it out. He almost pulled it out. Real quick, though.
I think pulled it off might have been a better turn of phrase.
With the Peter Quill thing, I think... Mm-hmm. If I could just give my hot take on it, it's not that hot of a take because it's been a week since the movie came out. But
yeah, it's simmer.
For me, I think it's something where it's not necessarily out of character. So I don't necessarily have a huge problem with it, but it especially in comparison to the rest of the film, it feels like a very unclever way to have them lose that fight to Thanos.
It felt like, much more like, it was like the script needs this rather than the character needs this.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it doesn't feel out of line with the character. Like, I believe that Star-Lord would do that, but I wish that, like, they had, you know, failed to defeat Thanos in a more enjoyable way.
Yeah.
And that was that really is the only part of the film that's even to me that's really shows any like weakness at all. Yeah. The rest of it is just like it's hitting like nonstop.
Which is I think a fun contrast to like how that moment feels a little weak is how strong the moment is when Doctor Strange gives the Time Stone to Thanos, because it feels like, you know, everyone else in the movie, like, fine, stop, don't hurt my friends, and I'll give you what I want. Like, it feels like that, even though earlier in the movie he says, I don't give a fuck about Iron Man or Spider-Man, like, I don't care.
But, like, we're used to this convention.
Exactly, but it subverts that, because he looked at the future, and he knows that this is the way to beat Thanos. Like, he says as he's fading away into nothingness, he says, it was the only way.
Yeah.
So I thought that that was clever on a few levels, where it plays into the emotion of it, but it subverts that emotion with intelligence. And it's like you have such a nicely crafted moment there. The Star-Lord thing feels very weak by comparison.
I don't know. I just thought that whole thing was just very Doctor Strange. Like, you know, he's not going to explain what he's doing as he's doing it. He's just going to do it and like say, hey, if you want to keep up with me, you got to fucking do the work, Tony.
I think something that I really enjoyed, and I only saw a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. I enjoyed seeing some people online complaining about that moment right after the film came out, before, you know, they had a chance to talk with anyone about it and learn that they were being stupid. complaining about the moment, being like, he said that he didn't care at all, and then he was like, oh, I care all of a sudden. And it's like, he knew them for like an hour. And it's like, okay, well, you weren't paying attention. And then, like, I saw... like one like comment that someone had made saying that like in that scene like Benedict Cumberbatch isn't even doing like a good job at acting. He doesn't even seem like he's sad that Tony's gonna die. And I'm like, no, Doctor Strange is doing a bad job at acting.
Because
he's not an actor. He's pretending to care so Thanos will take the stone.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
It came across to, I think, most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, the first time, like, at first when I saw the scene, I was like, oh, this is going to be another trick. He's going to give him an illusion Infinity Stone, and then he's going to get his ass kicked. But
nope. Nothing like that.
Gave him the real one.
I guess last comment.
Man, Doctor Strange was doing all kinds of butt kicking in that fight. I mean, he wasn't, but he did so many cool things.
Doctor Strange, with the experience tranquility moment, was my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
I think last thing I want to mention before we jump into the next thing I have planned is, because in the movie, Thanos' plan to use the Infinity Stones is, let's eliminate all hunger, suffering, starvation, famine, everywhere.
Oh, God.
By killing half of all the living beings in the universe. And I think there are some problems with the execution of that plan nature of that plan. Especially since he has a reality manipulating tool, I feel like there are other solutions. Whereas in the comics, he was told by Death to do that.
Yeah, you know what I've been doing all week on social media?
Well, he wasn't told by Death to do
that. Well, he wanted to do it to impress her.
Yeah, he was like, he was like, hey, Death, I love you. You're the best. Do you love me? And Death was like, no, I don't love you. And Thanos is like, I'm going to kill everyone so Death will love me.
Yeah, but like in the movie, it seems like they've completely nixed that plot, which I think makes
that's gone.
Super...
Here's the thing. Yeah. In this movie, I felt, I don't know, a lot of people say Thanos is the best villain. I still think that Killmonger and Kilgrave are like way more compelling and three-dimensional.
Yes.
Because Thanos just keeps reiterating his plan over and over again. And I almost feel like having that much more flawed thing at the center of it would be good. This movie did not have room for it. Yeah, I'm wondering if Avengers 4 will bring it in.
The thing is, like, with Thanos, what you get is that, like, he keeps reiterating his plan, and then slowly you get little snippets into the flashback of him kidnapping a child.
Yeah.
And forging an emotional connection with his kidnappee.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, nah, he's still a piece of shit.
Yeah, I didn't find him particularly sympathetic, aside from Josh Brolin's performance.
Here's the... Oh, yeah, I think the performance was good. And I actually... To go back to the, like, criticisms I've seen of the film thing, I think I saw people criticizing the Thanos thing, like, oh, he's not a good villain because if... Like, he's a bad character because if he wanted to, like, eliminate, you know, all the, like, hunger and, you know, whatever, like, with the Infinity Gauntlet, why couldn't he just make more resources instead of killing half the people?
I think that that's a little different than taking stuff away, so I can understand that not being...
But, what I was saying was, like, he's the villain. Like, he's wrong, and the Avengers are right. Yeah. Like, that's the whole point of the movie. Yeah. And I think the valuable thing about Thanos' motivation isn't that he's right. If he was right, he would be the good guy. The valuable thing is that he thinks he's the good guy, and I like that in villains. I mean, every once in a while, it's nice to have, like, the, you know, oh, I'm evil because I'm evil villain. Like, that's nice sometimes.
Or, even say, like, with Hydra, where, like, they're just saying, you know, they want something that's good for them, and they know that it's terrible for everyone else. But,
yeah.
True.
But Thanos, even though he's wrong, he thinks he's doing the right thing, and I think that makes for a more compelling villain.
I think that's fair. So I want to shift the attention a little bit because we obviously want to talk about the film, but we are here to talk about the trailers as well. So looking at the trailers that led up to this film, I actually want to kick this off with a question that Jeff asked us, because Jeff made a very good point, and this is something I've noticed a lot recently. And just so you listeners know, if you want to have your own question or comment read on the show, we make a weekly post on Facebook or Twitter where you can comment a reply and we will talk about it, just as we did today. Do you think that the way the trailer or trailers were edited diminished from the feel at all by having fake outs? For example, the Hulk running into the battle, which didn't happen, or making Captain holding Thanos' glove a big deal when he just kind of gets knocked out right after that. Basically, the trailers throw us off in a lot of ways, particularly showing us the Hulk in ways that he didn't exist in the film. In the film, he doesn't show up after the first scene. It's Banner in the Hulkbuster armor. How do you guys feel about when trailers use alternate takes, or in this case, use deliberately generated things that don't exist in the movie?
I don't want to make like a blanket statement. I think in this instance, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Am glad that I went to the movie and I didn't really know anything about what was gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Even like some like you said, like I don't think that because it's not like the trailers had like a bunch of scenes with the Hulk like fighting dudes being like focusing on.
Mm-hmm. It was that one shot with like Cap leading the Wakandan
like, it's not
army.
Like they had a bunch of scenes with the Hulk fighting dudes focusing on him, and then we go to the movie, and then he's not in it. You know, he's in one shot.
Yeah, and also technically they still had the scenes with Bruce Banner in the film where he was inside the Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was a nice fake out. To be honest, I tend to appreciate it. So I think that there are other instances, and I'm thinking in the past, Star Trek Into Darkness is a film where nothing in the trailer misled the movie, but they used different takes.
Yeah, and this is...
Or even in the first Avengers film, where like in the trailer, Tony Stark says, genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist, but in the movie, it's a much more deadpan read of the line. So it's like using alternate takes and things like that, but then there's also movies like The Amazing Spider-Man 2, where there's an entire subplot teased in the trailers that didn't exist in the film at all.
Yeah.
Probably just because stuff gets left on the cutting room floor, but all of this felt so deliberate in a way that it's like, we don't want... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the one thing that threw me was actually, it honestly, not that important. Mm-hmm. I imagine that it probably doesn't matter. But like that when we were at the movie, I felt a little bit weird about the moment in space inside the ring ship with Tony, Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it was because they cut the dialogue up differently with that exchange. Doctor Strange
with Gamora in the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was complete. Like, I felt something was off about it. So I went back and watched the trailer again. And I was like, oh, they did cut the scene differently. And it, I don't know. I felt a little weird about it.
The trailer cut like two scenes together. I think.
Yeah. So you thought.
And I don't know about you, Austin. It sounds like maybe not. I looked at the trailers like I think maybe a bit more closely. And I like going in knew that those were two separate scenes, because like when you're I watched the trailers a bunch of times. When you look at it, like, the characters are clearly in, like, different places. Yeah. But, like, if you're just watching it, like, a few times, then you don't know that, you know? But so I think I was a little more prepared for that. But I totally agree that that's, like, I think for, like, the average moviegoer who isn't going to, like, go and study the trailer, that that can be something that, like, throws them off when you, like, edit different scenes together in the trailer.
Well, I don't think it would have mattered as much if, like, they hadn't edited it to, like, edited it in the middle of an exchange that was so funny, like, and so stand out to me.
That's true, yeah.
Like, and I was just like, it feels like something's missing. It didn't have the same rhythm that it had when it was in the trailer. But, like, honestly, not a huge problem. It's just that's how life is sometimes.
So all in all, with our original discussion, which obviously we had only 20 minutes ago, about how these trailers, about how we read these trailers going into the movie without having seen it, do you think that the amount of work that went into protecting the information in the movie and protecting us from spoilers, do you think that all these weird cuts and alterations in the trailers improved your movie experience, didn't improve it, made it worse? I don't know. What impact do you guys think it had?
I would say that it made my movie experience neutral.
Yep.
No, I mean, what I mean is that, like, it didn't, I think, make me like the film more or less. Mm-hmm. I liked the film based on its own merits, and that's what I prefer.
Yeah.
So it improved it over, you know, a bad trailer, obviously. But I don't have a bad Infinity War trailer to compare it to, so I think that, the way that these trailers were done allowed me to enjoy the film based on its own merits, and that's something I'm pretty happy about. They're even, and this is something Marvel, I think, does a lot in their trailers. So, like, the Infinity Gauntlet, right? There's scenes in the trailer where some of the stones are edited out.
Yeah,
so that, which makes sense. We don't know how many he has. And then the spider legs.
Yeah, the spider legs were edited out. Thor's eye patch was edited out to avoid Ragnarok spoilers in, like, early cuts of the trailer and preview footage. Like back in July and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Although we did know, maybe that was from Ragnarok trailers, that we knew he was going to lose an eye before the movie happened. I definitely saw pictures of him in an eye patch.
Yes, it came out before Thor Ragnarok, but there was, like, early footage of Infinity War shown at, like, Comic-Con or something like that, where he didn't have an eye, and then we saw Thor trailers with him with an eye patch, and we're like, what's going on here?
Well, and stuff like that. The Infinity War trailer, like, the first official one, dropped like a week or two after, I think it was like a week or two after Thor Ragnarok came out, and it had him with the eye patch, and I didn't watch it at the time. I knew there was a spoiler, but because I was like, oh well, you know, I haven't seen Ragnarok yet, so I don't need to watch this this trailer. But they had Thor with the eye patch, and they were just like, you've seen Ragnarok, we know.
Yep. I remember when Captain America Winter Soldier came out and the huge twist where Hydra has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D., Pat had not seen Captain America, but he was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, man.
And at the end of the episode, they're like, so when Hydra was revealed to have taken over S.H.I.E.L.D. and the three helicarriers crashed into the Triskelion, Pat was like, fuck! No! He had the whole movie. That's my favorite Marvel movie. He had the whole movie ruined by, like, 10 seconds of off-screen news dialogue from an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
That's super funny.
And I think that's terrible. That. But
I feel like I monopolized that answer. I'm super sorry, Austin. Do you want to go?
I think it did what a trailer is supposed to do very well, and I, you know, maybe it, with the strange beats and things that were, like, misrepresentative of the actual movie, you could say, it made me angry because I was expecting those things in the movie, but, like, are you kidding me? I don't know, it made me excited to see the characters.
Yeah.
I don't feel really cheated that I didn't get to see the Hulk, because, like, he's not the most important. Nobody's the most important.
We've seen the Hulk.
Also, I enjoyed the Hulk-Bruce Banner subplot, and I'm excited to see the conclusion of it in the next movie.
Yes.
That's
and
true.
I think I think I'm going to enjoy the resolution of that more than I would have enjoyed the Hulk smashing some aliens. Where I would have enjoyed that, though.
And
I definitely
dying.
Would have enjoyed the Hulk smashing some aliens.
For sure.
Can I say a thing real quick? It'll be fast.
Go right ahead.
I really do, though, have a problem with comedy films putting stuff in the trailers that isn't in the movie.
Oh, my God.
Because a lot of times I've had an experience where I'll see a trailer for a movie, a comedy, and I'm like, that trailer's hilarious. All those jokes landed 100%. I'm very excited to see that movie. And then you go and see the movie, and all the jokes in the trailer that were hilarious aren't even in the movie, and then the movie also sucks. And it's just like, why did you cut the good stuff out of the movie and then put it in a trailer?
Thank God this movie was funny.
What?
Do you have a particular film in mind?
No, dude, a bunch. A bunch of movies that came out between like 2005 and 2010. Like, basically every time I went to the theater during that 5-year span, I was disappointed.
So, touching...
You only saw comedies for 5 years?
I want to touch on our predictions really quick.
No, they got... I stopped watching trailers for comedies.
Guys, I really want to touch on our predictions. Okay.
Yeah, I really want to. Yeah.
So, Austin, I remember that big thing you were looking forward to based on the trailers and based on the other films was Spider-Man quippiness. How do you think the movie held up in that regard?
Oh yeah, I loved it. The whole scene where he's flying into outer space, perfect. Amazing.
What about the scene where Doctor Strange has the portals and he's jumping through the portal screaming magic! More magic! Oh, yeah. Kick magic!
Magic kick! I love it.
Yeah. Magic with a kick!
He was perfect. He's the best boy.
All right, Eddie, I'm sorry to say, I forgot some of the things you predicted. You had sort of big, broad predictions about what you wanted for the story, thinking some people might die. How do you think it held up to your original expectations?
I'm going to be honest with you, Colin. I don't remember my predictions. I'm pretty sure I said Red Skull is going to be in the movie. I'm pretty sure I predicted
I think you said exactly that. I'm glad we have it on
recording.
Everyone
laughed at me, but I was right. We were gonna say, no, I think I do recall saying that I wanted there to be character death. I wanted there to be like consequences to
Thanos. You got so much of that.
Well, here's the thing.
Kind of.
So,
it's all gonna be rewound.
I don't know yet if I got what I wanted, and I won't know until the next movie. My guess, and I think it's a lot of people's guess, is that anyone who died before the snap is dead, and anyone who died after is going to come back. Now, none of us know this. None of us have any information. This is just a guess.
I don't think Gamora's gone. I think she's still signed for Guardians 3.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can have like contracts that are longer than the actual amount of films they appear in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'm a little torn because part of me is a little disappointed that T'Challa and Peter dusted.
Yeah.
Because I know they're going to be in Black Panther 2 and Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. I'm torn because part of me is a little disappointed because that makes me know like, oh, okay, all those people who dusted are probably coming back. But then there's another part of me that's like, the moment when Spider-Man went was one of the most powerful moments in the whole film. And I don't think...
I think what made that powerful for me is I know he's coming back. I know this is not a permanent death, but it still made me feel for it.
Yeah.
Like, even though the stakes were taken away from me, the context and the performance still sold it so good.
Yeah.
Apparently, and that was improvised.
Yeah, I was going to say, I read that too,
He just watched Doctor Who. I don't want to go.
Well, as for the context, though, I really like that moment because, oh my God, it's super convincing to me at that point when you're like, when he's saying that to Tony Stark after the time they spent in the Spider-Man movies and how he was going to bring him on the Avengers, and then he said no. And then I was just thinking of the first moment earlier in this very film where Tony's like totally hinting that he wants to have kids and Spider-Man's the son that he never had, and then he's just dying.
And then he died.
Everyone else, and it's all Tony's fault, and it's, well, I mean, not all Tony's fault, but he thinks that because he has issues. And that's like the whole thing that he was afraid of in Ultron was everyone dying. Yep.
I think that something I'm surprised I haven't seen in online discussion is that for all the people that dusted and got killed by Thanos' Infinity Snap, the people that are left are the original six Avengers from the first movie. So I'm really excited to see how that pans out in Avengers 4. And speaking of Avengers 4, now that we have seen the film, I think that we can make much more educated guesses as to what the name of this film is going to be. So, knowing the death and destruction, the scale, the action, the wit, the Squidward, what is the name of Avengers 4?
Now, here's the thing. Should we just fire him off? Because I think I can come up with more than
I've
one.
I've got a good one.
Fire him off. Go ahead, what do you got,
Austin? One to start.
Okay.
Avengers 4, the first time they're actually Avengers.
Avengers 4, the quest to save Spider-Man.
I think at one point I thought Avengers 4, the Desolation of Thanos, that came to mind at one point.
Avengers 4, the Battle of Five Avengers.
The Battle of Five Avengers! I feel like it's got to be something.
Ooh, I got it. Eddie. Avengers 4, Return of the King of Asgard.
Avengers 4, he aimed for the head this time.
Well, you know what I really want it to be? I really want it to be Avengers 4, we goad him into fighting with one Infinity Stone at a time. Like, I like that gag because it's like, oh yeah, Thanos is such an asshole that he'll just do that.
Oh, I got it. Avengers 4, Deadpool's in this one.
Okay, yeah. Oh my god, speaking of trailers, the Deadpool 2 trailer was so funny. It made me laugh very hard.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question.
Very good.
Is Death, the cosmic being Death in the Marvel Universe, is that technically a Deadpool character? Do they not have the rights to that character?
Do now.
Yeah, but they didn't. I'm wondering if Fox owned the rights to Death.
Yeah, they started pre-production on Civil War before they had the rights to Spider-Man. They know what they're doing.
That's true.
I honestly I think that the name is going to have something to do either with the word Infinity or the word Death. I feel like Death is going to get rolled into this somehow, because with fewer characters, you'll have more room to actually dig into a nuanced plot. And I hope that it's like
Avengers 4, Resurrection.
Oh, yeah, that went over so well. The last franchise that did that.
Oh, I got it. This one will just be called The Revengers.
The Revengers.
Yeah.
Avengers 4, Defenders.
No, so that's already...
Yeah, that's what Thor was calling the team in Ragnarok.
The Revengers.
Real quick, guys.
Yep.
I hope Korg is alive.
Who's Korg?
Korg, you know, the blue rock guy from Ragnarok.
Yeah, sorry.
I was really confused, dude.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong timer. So I honestly do think one of my biggest disappointment is that after seeing the movie, we have all abandoned the idea that Batman will show up in Avengers 4. Yeah. Definitely a step in the wrong direction, but I think Marvel can turn it around. But you know what? I think it's time for us to move on to the ratings. Thank you both for a vengeful discussion. And now we're going to move on, and I'm going to have each of you rate the topic on a scale of 1 to 5 Infinity Stones. This one's going to be pretty predictable.
But there are 6 Infinity Stones.
You can't get 6! It's too dangerous! Rate it out of 5!
Like, honestly, though, I'm just grabbing an Infinity Stone if I see it. Like, you know, what's the worst that could happen? I die. I'm going to do that anyway.
Okay, cool. So... So Infinity Stone, I think we went Austin, Eddie. I think that's the order.
It better be, or I'm gonna be pissed.
Okay. So this is weird because I feel like the Infinity Stone ranking system is weird because I instinctually I wanna like use the value of a single Infinity Stone to be 1, and I think that I can't give any trailer a whole Infinity Stone. But if we're just working with this 1-5 framework, I will begrudgingly...
I think 1-5 framework of the trailers for Infinity War, the movie of Infinity War, and the overall experience it gave you.
I'm rating it all together. Like, am I averaging it, or am I like adding it up?
You can do whatever math you want. I don't care. That's what I'm saying. Just give me a rating.
Use a median.
It's in the clunky script.
Okay, so I think it was super fun. Not like the best movie I've ever seen, but it was good. It did what it had to do. So I'm gonna give it a 4. I feel like I'm giving out a lot of 4s as of late.
I
don't know.
That's okay.
I'm just living life.
4 makes sense though, like, because generally we're bringing good stuff onto the show.
Yeah.
But it's never perfect stuff. So
well, you know what they say. Treat a 4 like a 5 and it'll be grateful.
Yeah, I mean, yep. Hey, dude, 4 is way better than what Sonic got, so.
It?
Yeah, it. The movie. The movie will be grateful.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I need to show you guys.
Okay, to save it.
Yep,
so,
save it.
4
save
out of 5.
It.
Do you have any more
guys, I'm Eddie. I'm gonna rate the movie.
I enjoyed the film. The trailer was like an appetizer for the film. I'm
yummy.
All about these appetizer metaphors, I guess.
Yeah, seriously, that's like the second episode this cycle where you're talking about food movies. Eddie, what did you think? How many Infinity Stones you can give this bad boy?
Well, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, guys, I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the trailers. I like the trailers. I feel like they didn't really give any like big moments away, which I enjoyed.
Yes.
Because I want to, you know, experience those in the theater. So I'm gonna also give it a 4.
That's great.
If I was just rating the movie, I might give it a 5. But I'm rating the trailers and the mm-hmm. So I'm gonna give it a 4.
All right. I think that sounds fair. So because I just saw this movie, I want to say I'm also gonna give it a 4. I know that's not usually something that we do, but I hadn't seen the movie when I picked the episode. I want to say I liked it a lot. I'm gonna give it a 4. I'm excited for what's coming up.
Real good.
So now, the next part of the ratings is I need to award one of you a Gold Star student. Now, we didn't have domains, but I want to judge your participation in, like, the predicting, like, your kind of follow-through on what you had before, and just your general commentary on the movie.
All right, guys. I'm going to make a prediction before Colin gives out the award.
Yep.
Colin, cover your ears.
I don't think that.
Okay,
that...
no, he's fine. He can't hear me now. His ears are covered.
Oh my god.
I'm holding my hands over the headphones.
I'm gonna predict. So since Colin could remember what Austin said last episode, and none of us could remember what I said, I'm gonna guess that Austin probably wins it, and I'll be okay with that. Let's find out what happens, though. Maybe I'll pull it out like Thanos did, right, with that finger snap.
So pressing my headphones into my ears did a great job of masking what you just said right into my ears.
That's good.
Now, we give out a Gold Star Student Award every episode. And the Gold Star Student Award, we just take a random thing from what we're talking about. We make it gold, and it's a star. So I just did Infinity Stones. So you can guess what the Gold Star Student Award is going to be if we go from Infinity Stones to a gold single item. And that is going to be... the Golden Red Skull cameo.
So, makes sense to me.
The Golden Red Skull cameo.
I'm gonna be honest. You had two good choices for items, in either the Infinity Gauntlet or the axe. But you know, that's cool too.
Well, I'm gonna keep bucking tradition or bucking expectations, because just like we expected not Red Skull to be in the movie, we also expected not Eddie to get the Red Skull cameo, but Eddie's getting the Red Skull cameo.
Oh man!
Now, Austin, the stuff you said, I think, stuck with me because it resonated with what I want out of the movie. And I'm just a bitch for Spider-Man. Like, it's a problem.
Oh, I know.
I love him too. Greg.
But I think generally, and this might just come from the background knowledge of the franchise, Eddie, I think that you had a broader lens looking at this, and I appreciate a lot of that. Though Austin's comments cut like a sword, yours were like a giant bludgeon of love, and I think that did it for me. I think that did it for me in this particular instance.
I appreciate that, Colin. And I'm going to keep my acceptance speech short and sweet.
Oh, God.
Mr. Ketchin!
Austin!
I don't want to go.
Austin! Where'd you go? No! Austin's gone! Oh! Eddie, why? Oh, God.
Well, there's two of you, and I had to take out half of you.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness, Austin, we'll miss you so hard.
I'm so happy.
I want to thank you for joining us on this very tragic episode of the Common Geeking program. We have lost a friend. One half of the people on this podcast can now eat. You're welcome, Eddie. I want to say that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to the Comic Geeking program.
Listen, Colin, one does not consider fun when balancing the podcast. But I did enjoy that.
I am your host, Colin Ketchin. You can find me at Sana Colin K on a bunch of platforms. I've been joined by... I was joined by Austin Liebers. You can find him in memoriam somewhere. And also joined by...
Hey, I'm Edward Ryan. You can find me on Twitter at Fake Eddie Ryan. Sometimes I retweet memes.
So... next, our next episode is going to be hosted, I believe, by Edward Ryan. Ed, what are you bringing us next week?
Yeah, the next episode is going to be the Common Briefing program. It's going to be just a really, like, you know, chill hang sesh, where we do less briefing you on the news and do more talking about stuff that we like, but it's all recent stuff, so it's technically the news.
All right, well...
and let me give you guys a little bit of a spoiler alert. The Hulk doesn't actually appear in that episode, but he will be in the trailer.
So be sure to tune in next Friday and follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, tagging us, tweeting #CGP will enter you into a raffle where you can pick the topic for a future episode. If you review us on Apple Podcasts, it is a critical help growing our show. And we'll read new reviews on the air. Anyways, we miss Austin. I'm sorry. It was a joy having you on the podcast, but you are gone forever. But thank you for listening, subscribing, sharing everything. And two of us will talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
This episode of the Common Geeking program was hosted by Colin Ketchin, joined by Austin Liebers and Edward Ryan. This episode is sponsored by Recording Things Out of Order. We haven't recorded the second half of the episode yet, but I'm sure it's going to turn out just great. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, featuring original music by me. Now, at the end of every episode, we have a little bonus section, a little stinger, something that we cut out from the episode that we think is funny. And there is just so dang much from this episode, you can expect a little bonus episode coming out later this week. But next week, we've got another Common Briefing program, so we hope you join us for that, and thank you for listening to this.
Oh, by the way, Colin, I put you on blast in the Common Briefing program episode, so
fuck. Get ready. I keep getting put on blast. Did you listen to today's episode? They shit on me so hard, dude.
I didn't do it in like an overt way.
Like, I get put on blast anytime.
I was reading the things in the script that you wrote, and I was reading them.
Yeah.
I thought that it was written like really clunkily, and then me and Tim will make fun of it, and then I read it very clunkily.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.